Ladies and gentlemen, strap in because it's about to get bumpy. After just 2 weeks, your Indianapolis Colts are one of the most disappointing teams in the sport of football. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right. Much thanks, everyone. Thank you for tuning in and making us your number one listen of the day. Even if it's a hate listen right now, I don't blame you whatsoever. This is your daily podcast covering your Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Except for today's episode. Not really today.
It's not your team anymore. We get it. Today's episode is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, then you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. That's prizepicks.com, promo code LOCKEDON. This is Jake Arthur alongside Zach Hicks, and you know the two of us from horseshoehuddle.com. We'll be your pallbearers for the day, everyone, because this is a funeral. It's not good.
Yep.
On today's show, we're going to go over what the heck just happened out there on the field. The Colts embarrassed themselves in Jacksonville once again, losing 24-0 to the Jaguars. That's 8 losses on the road in a row to the Jags, I believe, and they remain winless in that scenario since 2014. I saw Zach Kiefer tweeted, I think it was since in the last 300-plus games or whatever, the Colts have been shut out just 3 times, and they've all come at the hands of the Jaguars. I don't know how that happens. How one team can just own you so blatantly is just crazy to me. Yeah. It's the second straight week that the Colts have played below what is supposed to be an inferior opponent, but now they find themselves at 0-1-1. You know, the Texans and Jaguars is the two teams they've gone winless against. They were a combined 7-27 last year. That's beyond playing to your competition because the other teams are kind of whooping them now at this point.
Yep.
They had to crawl themselves out of a 17-point hole in week one, and now they didn't even come close to getting that today. Anyways, coming up next for the Colts, doesn't get any better at all. Actually, gets much, much, much worse. You got Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs next week. The AFC South reigning division champion Titans twice, Russell Wilson and the Broncos, the Jaguars again. Mm-hmm. It's not good, bud. It is not good. So the main theme for this game, again, not being prepared whatsoever, like not getting off the bus, very undisciplined. It's like they didn't practice at all. I mean, you obviously know they prepare for this game, whatever, but how does a team just come out being this flat and lifeless all the time?
I don't know, man. And you know what? I feel like we can sit down and say, look, the sky's not falling. It's week two. It's whatever. But at the end of the day, this is a trend that we are seeing now. And yes, we talked about this a lot last week. You know, they're trending. A lot of trends with a lot of players. But now we're seeing the trends with the coaches. And we're seeing the trends with how this team in general looks. I mean, this is 4 straight games now dating back to you know, week 17 of last season where they have not – it's not that they haven't looked like a good football team. They haven't even looked like a team that deserves to be on the field with who they're playing against. They have just looked outclassed and undermanned in 4 straight games now. And this is a rarity for the Frank Reich and Chris Ballard era. You know, traditionally this has been a good duo where the Colts have been either a playoff team or a fringe playoff team or – you know, at least a team that can go toe-to-toe with some good teams and typically handles the bad teams they play against outside of at Jacksonville, which, again, happened this week. But this is the game I think you and I have always been big Frank Reich, Chris Ballard fans. We've talked mm-hmm. positively about them on this podcast a lot. And even in our other podcast that we had before we came over to Locked On, we talked very positively about these guys. But I think this is the tipping point for me, for you, I'm assuming too. And honestly, I think a lot of fans as well, because this was the game that they had circled all offseason. It's the game where last year they pointed out like, oh, I'm not saying that they blamed Carson Wentz for everything last year, but it was the game like, oh yeah, Carson Wentz and the team didn't show up, so we had to make changes. We didn't have the leadership we needed, so we brought in new leaders. All offseason, we circled this game because we didn't deserve to win it last year. We know we deserve it to win this year. And to come out the way they did after a whole offseason of talk, a whole offseason of preparation, a whole offseason of this year is going to be different, and to come out this year with it being much worse, like drastically worse. I honestly think this loss is more infuriating and more frustrating and more upsetting than that loss last year in Week 18, because this is a game where all offseason you're saying how it's going to be different, how we're going to come out and play, how this team needs to look in this kind of matchup. And they laid an even bigger dud. I mean, this is a bigger dud than that Week 18 game last year. I mean, there was mm-hmm. – I mentioned this on Twitter, so I'm not even going to – but unless you're a family member of Grover Stewart, there's nothing to like about the Colts in this game at all. There was not one other – like, literally my positives from this game are, hey, Grover Stewart's really good. There is nothing else. No other player. Jonathan Taylor, I guess, when he touched the ball late was fine. But there is no other player, no other aspect of this game, no coach, no front office members. There's nothing that I can say something positive about besides Grover Stewart, which, again, if your one tech is the only guy that you can say something positive about, what are you really doing here? So this is a fundamental failure from top to bottom in the whole organization, from the owner down to the players on the field, to the training, I mean, to everyone. Again, you cannot go the whole offseason making the moves that they did, you know, talking all the stuff that they said all offseason about how this is going to be different, and then coming out like this. I mean, Week 1 was bad enough, tying the Houston Texans. Week 2, this absolute dud stinker in Jacksonville where you didn't even look like you deserved to be on the field with them. Again, after a whole offseason saying that you need to be better against them, this is very, very reflective of Chris Ballard, Frank Reich, and honestly all the players too. I think people are giving a lot of these players too much of a pass for this game. It's not, oh, this is all Frank Reich. Frank Reich needs to be fired and then it's fine. Or, oh, fire Chris Ballard and it's fine. No, these players bear a lot of responsibility for this too. Yeah. These are players making $10, $15, $20 million a year. Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, Braden Smith, DeForest Buckner, Kenny Moore, Stephon Gilmore, Yonta Ngakoue. These are players making a lot of money and they came out and they look like they didn't deserve to be on the football field with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So top to bottom, GM, coach, coordinators, to the players on the field, it's a fundamental failure for this team. And I do think, you know, I mean, again, I was one of the more optimistic people. I think this is the tipping point for a lot of people. Like this, a lot of people are going to be sick and done with this era of football with the Colts. And I don't blame them anymore because this just couldn't happen.
Yeah, you can almost give a team a pass if a game like this happens once every once in a great while. But like you said, this is four straight games. How is that possible? They haven't looked prepared to play whatsoever. Like you said, from top to bottom, there's no one who you can have confidence in that you say, like, man, they're really playing their, you know, the Grover Stewart. Yes, I thought Jonathan Taylor looked good because he doesn't really get holes open at all. But dude, this makes no sense whatsoever. Like how a team can be this non-prepared to play. And you mentioned the Chris Ballard, Frank Reich stuff. Even with moves or things they didn't do that I didn't agree with, I understood why they were doing them or why they were not doing them.
Right.
At this point, the doubters are being proven right. You know, you guys were comfortable with this receiving core. Cool. Okay, well, you take Michael Pittman out of there. What do you have? And you can't say, well, Alec Pierce was hurt too because the dude caught zero balls last week. The position groups you've shown so much confidence in have been just absolute failures so far. You have some pillars on your offensive line, so plugging in a couple of guys should be no problem. They'll be fine with those other guys. Nope. Matt Ryan hasn't been great, but he's also been under duress like almost constantly. Nothing is going well right now. Nothing that you guys have done to this roster that you thought would take you to the next level, everything is reverting back. There's one step forward, two steps back.
It's a whole leap backwards. It's a dive. Yeah. It's a dolphin dive backwards right now.
Yeah. I don't know what constructive to say right now other than what is going on.
Right. And I will say, going into 2018, we had confidence that they would turn that around. They had Andrew Luck. 2019, we didn't have much confidence in because they weren't that good of a team. 2020, obviously, we had some confidence. 2021, we had some confidence. And for most of those years, they were a good football team. This year, we had the confidence, and they had a lot of talent on paper. Yes, they had holes. Yes, they had issues that they said wasn't going to be a big issue, and they have been an issue. But the thing is, my only pushback is, yes, the wide receiver depth has been an issue. Yes, the issues at O-line have been concerning. Yes. The lack of depth that places on defense have been concerned, but it's not even been that. It's been every single position. It's not just the, I think Chris Ballard sucks, so these positions he didn't adjust or that he didn't address, it's on him. It's like, but it's every position. It's every single position. So, I mean, yes, if you want to put that on Chris Ballard, because your $20 million defensive tackle has not shown up through 2 weeks. Your slot corner, who's begging for more money, has not shown up. Stephon Gilmore, your big money corner, was getting torched by a one-year deal tight end today in Evan Engram. Like, it was everybody. It's the entire team is just not showing up for these games. And this was an absolute disaster from top to bottom. And I know we're going to jump into offense and defense kind of specifically here, but I really think that this game could be the beginning of the end for Chris Ballard and Frank Reich, and they deserve it. They deserve it.
Yeah, I have no explanation. It's completely just inexplicable. But guys, a few prize picks this week, and then I hope you didn't think the Colts would do well at anything. Using prize picks on either the computer or the mobile app is easy as facing the Colts offense or the Colts defense or the Colts special teams. Just pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their prize picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections that have been made available. PrizePicks offers projections on any sport that you watch, whether it's the NFL, NBA, or even cricket. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy, and withdrawals are quick and safe and easy as well. Plus, PrizePicks is currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the PrizePicks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users, you guys can get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, they'll give you $100. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks will give you $50. But don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. All right, Zach, so offensively, no life, really. 218 yards of offense. They were 2 of 10 on third down, 0 of 2 on fourth down, 0 of 2 in the red zone. Looking at the passing game, you know, Matt Ryan, I think we had some confidence in him coming into it, but you remove Michael Pittman from this equation, and him, forget him and the receivers not being on the same page. They're not reading the same book. Like, Matt Ryan threw 3 picks today. He was sacked 5 times. Several of those passes looked like, you know, maybe the pass was where it was supposed to be, but the receiver wasn't. Just no one seemed to be on the same page whatsoever in the passing game.
Yeah, there's just no identity with this offense whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I mean, last week it was literally Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman Jr. carry us to the finish line. And I think Matt Ryan did some good things in week one in the second half. And I don't think Matt Ryan was the main issue this week either, but he wasn't anything close to a solution or positive at all. Like it was just a train wreck from top to bottom. They have no chemistry. They have no, I mean, there's not this offensive line too. I know we're going to get to the offensive line in a second, but it starts and ends with the offensive line just destroying everything up front. They're getting no push in the run game. They're having major issues in pass protection. So even when there is, you know, even when there might be a good play call or might be something for the receivers, there's no time to get it there. There's multiple times. Matt Ryan's been hit 18 times in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's an absolute train wreck. And again, there's the offensive line. There's the receivers not being on the right page. There's Matt Ryan not playing up to what we expected in the offseason. And it's everything, man. I think Taylor, when he's had some space, has been good. Hines was okay today. Mm-hmm. That's all I got. But it really, I really do think it comes down at the end of the day. I really think that there's just no identity whatsoever with this team. Last year, the identity was we're going to be kind of sporadic, but we're going to run the ball down your throat, and we're going to, you know, and we're going to be a little sporadic with our passing game, but we're still going to get the job done. This year, there's nothing. There's, I mean, even the run game, I know Jonathan Taylor had a big week one, but the run game never really found much consistency until late in the second half in that week one game. You know, early in the game, it was a disaster. So I don't know, man. This offense, there's just nothing clicking with it. Nothing looks smooth. Nothing looks easy. Even when they move the ball, it looks like it's like pushing against a brick wall or something. Like it looks like they're
overcoming something every time.
Yeah, it looks like yeah. It's just, I don't know, man. It's an absolute mess. You can't really explain it, because the Colts offense in this tenure, in the Frank Reich and Chris Ballard tenure, has always been able to kind of overcome stuff like this. And I don't question, like, I do think eventually it'll figure itself out this year. And I do think eventually this team will claw itself to 6, 7, 8 wins, because that's just what happens. But man, right now, especially in two games, they needed to win to start the year. The offense just laying complete duds, the offensive line being at the center point of that, but the quarterback and the pass catcher is definitely not doing their job as well. It's just, I mean, again, outside of the top two running backs and then obviously Michael Pittman Jr. in week one, there's really nothing positive to write about this offense.
No, absolutely not. And it's, everything just seems so uncharacteristic. Like the offensive line, which has been something they could hang their hat on for the last 4 years, whatever, they're not even identifying pressure that's not coming from one-on-one matchups. Like,
right. It's not just the new guys.
I know communication is key and chemistry takes time to develop, but like they're playing games right now and they need to be effective right now. Like,
right.
If you're running a stunt or any sort of twist or anything against the Colts, congratulations on your sack, because it's coming. Like, that's just how it's been. It's just everyone, like, again, from top to bottom, like Frank Reich offenses have never seemed, again, I've said undisciplined, but like they at least always seem to know what they're doing. There's so many times where you look at things and you're like, these guys are in la la land right now.
That was a good comment by Milkweed.
Yeah, exactly.
That was
funny.
I can't explain much of it, because even early last season, the Colts were able to move the ball, you know, and we're talking Carson Wentz with no ankles. And same issues at pass catcher, you know, same issues in the O-line because they had Julian Davenport playing a couple games out there, you know, like it's the same issues, and they were playing against better teams. I mean, the Seahawks defense last year was okay. Like they were like middle of the road. And then the Rams defense last year was one of the best in football, and the Colts were able to move the ball pretty well. I just don't know what the issue is this year with this team. Again, there's just no identity. And the thing is, I feel like the Colts offensive line last year started to fall apart kind of more down the stretch. And then it's just kind of carried into this year, you know? So I don't know, man. This team just, again, has no identity. And look, all offseason we said it wasn't just like Wentz was the problem. They did need to make that move at quarterback. And I think it's easy to say, anyone who's watching these first two games, I feel like we can comfortably say whoever was at quarterback, the Colts would be in the same situation. They would not be a productive. I mean, today they lose with anybody at quarterback. I mean,
Peyton and Andrew Luck would have been a mess.
It's a complete disaster organizationally from top to bottom right now. It's the whole team right now. I don't know. And offense is a big part of it. And we're going to get to defense here in a second, but I do think they need to do a lot. They need to make a lot of changes here. I don't know if you do it during the year, but after the season, man, if this keeps up, I just don't know how you keep the coaching staff or the front office in the same place.
Yeah, and I think the last thing I probably want to discuss with the offense is, I mean, you and I aren't coaches, but I think we can take a look at the Colts' upcoming opponent each week and say what's probably an area they can attack. I don't know why, but the Colts just don't usually ever seem to attack it. Like we both said, you know, their off-ball linebackers were probably a little big and slow to hang out with Paris Campbell and Nyheim Hines and Jonathan Taylor outside in the passing game. Paris Campbell, who was the de facto, you know, number one coming into this because of Pittman and Pierce being down, targeted twice, no receptions. Nyheim Hines got involved a little early, 4 catches for 37 yards. But, you know, where this whole thing fell apart, and those were guys you probably could have used to help keep you afloat. I don't get it.
Yeah, there's just nothing going right on offense. But before we get to the defense and talk more glowingly about this amazing Colts team, I want to talk to you guys about Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. I like to think of it as Airbnb for cars. It's a pretty cool concept. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. Book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip. Get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday. Find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget and just need to get from A to B. Test drive the new electric vehicle you've had your eyes on to see how it fits your everyday life. Many Turo hosts can deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms and conditions and exclusions apply. Ditch boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com. And also, guys, the Colts don't have the home field advantage until week three, but you can have a home field advantage wherever you want if you go to homefieldapparel.com and check out their new Colts collection. I know you guys probably aren't looking for more Colts gear after this one, but, you know, the apparel company out of Indy has a new six-piece
True Colts Blue. Collection.
You guys can get some college gear from them as well if you want. You know, they have some college gear. I know Indiana's 3-0, right? You guys can get some stuff there. They've got two t-shirts, a hoodie, a crew neck, and a pair of joggers, and a pretty sick jacket. I actually just went on there today and got my wife a couple things. I know Jake's been doing some similar things on there for his wife. It's football season, so, you know, they're allowed to wear their Colts stuff now, whatever. That's the case for a lot of people, so go to homefieldapparel.com and get your items for 15% off at checkout by entering the promo code LOCKEDONCOLTS. All right, let's talk about the defense. You know, Grover Stewart is awesome. Grover Stewart.
Segment over.
We have talked about all the positives on defense now. Grover Stewart is the best, but that's it. That's all I got. Jake, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, what area of that excelled? Really, I mean, it's just one of those things where, like, guys you think are going to do well just haven't. You know, in Ngakoue, honestly, I thought Ngakoue got a couple – good jumps off the line, had some things where I thought he maybe influenced Trevor Lawrence's peripheral vision. But overall, there was no pass rush really again. And I know some of you guys got me on Twitter. Get over it. It was like a few plays into the end of the game. But no, the pass rush wasn't there. The run, aside from that big gash touchdown that James Robinson had, the run defense was okay. Trevor Lawrence was surgical against them again, though. You know, overall, I thought some stats that jumped out for the Jaguars offense was they were 2 of 3 on fourth down, which that obviously extends drives. It puts points on the board. They cashed in on both their red zone opportunities, no turnovers, no sacks. You're going to win with that type of stuff all day long. Again, Lawrence was 25 of 30, which is 83% of his passes, which we got used to under Matt Eberflus's, you know, cushy defense. That's not supposed to happen in this defense, and it still is. So that kind of tells you scheme or players, that's a big problem. Yeah. And of course, a couple touchdowns, really no blemishes for Lawrence. You know, he was able to do whatever he wanted to.
Yeah. I think just from watching, you know, I haven't watched all 22 or anything yet, so I can't say anything too firm, but I think we are having the perfect storm right now of defensive scheme is not good, and then the players are still not performing well in that scheme whatsoever. I know I'm seeing every single time there's a play action, the linebackers look completely confused. They're not getting to their assignments. They're not roboting into where they need to be. And that's on the players. That's not on the coaching right there. But also we're seeing a lot of times where these guys are backing off the ball. They're playing, you know, in a lot of shell defense like we saw under Matt Eberflus. And everyone bemoaned and cried about Matt Eberflus' defense. But we're seeing a lot of that same thing there. So I think it's a perfect storm right now of almost every player on the defense playing like utter crap. And the coaching not being very good either. Just like on offense. Offense is the same way. It's a train wreck. But yeah, the linebackers look atrocious each week. I don't think they even know what they're supposed to be doing in this scheme whatsoever. I think that was even more evident today than what it was in last week's game. Because again, every single time there was a play action, these linebackers did not know where to go. Mm-hmm. Play side backer, backside backer, these guys were completely lost on every play. And then the players that you expected to have big games or you expect to come out and perform, DeForest Buckner did absolutely nothing. I know he was dealing with an injury, but he did absolutely nothing in this entire game.
But if you're injured and you're going to play, then you have to be able to do something.
Right. Yannick Ngakoue, his first game in Jacksonville since leaving the team. And like you said, he had a couple good jumps, but he really didn't do anything at all. Kenny Moore had another bad week. Again, another player playing injured, but another bad week. And Stephon Gilmore, a player who actually played pretty well in week one. It felt like every third down in the second half, they were going to a tight end on him. And it's like, Stephon Gilmore, you're the top corner on this team. Like, you should be able to handle a tight end in there. And then, this is a good mention as well. I mean, the screen plays, I have no clue. Like, every other play was a screen pass in the second half, yet they are all going for, like, 20 yards. Like, we have a complete meltdown on defense right now in terms of scheme and players actually performing in the scheme, to where I'm not going to just point and say, oh, Gus Bradley broke this defense, because what I'm seeing on these players is these players are not performing whatsoever outside of Grover Stewart. And that's why the run defense has been good in 2 weeks. I mean, we're talking about two bad rushing. I think there's been two long runs for scores in these past 2 weeks against the Colts or whatever. Mm. But besides that, the run defense has been phenomenal. And a lot of that is Grover Stewart, but everything is broken right now in the pass defense. I mean, the star rushers that you brought in are not getting home. The players are not performing in their assignments, and the scheme is just, it's kind of easy to read and kind of cake for offenses. So complete disaster again on defense. But hey, Grover Stewart, I love it. We're going to keep mentioning Grover Stewart.
Yeah, I don't really know what else to say at this point about this game. I know you and I are going to get, we're going to have some really tough topics. We're going to bring up some topics that are necessary to discuss, stuff that doesn't necessarily go into today because they require a lot of time, you know, what kind of changes can be made moving forward, things like that.
Yep.
But yeah, I think as far as instant reactions for this game, I don't know what else I can say.
No, I think, again, at the end of the day, if you are looking at someone to blame, because again, I see from everybody, fire Ballard or fire Reich or fire Reich. You know, I'm seeing guys that you should fire Reich, you should, or not Ballard, or you should fire Ballard and not Reich. I think the blame for this game doesn't just fall on those two. It is every single person with the Colts organization. Every single player who came out this offseason saying how different it was going to be, or we're a better team this year. Every single player that said that we've dropped the ball in week 18 and we can't do that again. Every single player on this roster, every single coach of this team, every single person, the FO, and also the owner, you know, every single person associated with the Colts is to blame for this. And I'm not even taking that to say we should take the blame off of Frank Reich or take the blame off of Chris Ballard. No, they deserve plenty of blame. It's because every single one deserves it. Don't give these players a pass because you think Frank Reich is the problem or you think Chris Ballard is the problem. The players deserve a lot of blame for this too, because at the end of the day, these guys are getting paid, you know, double digit, you know, millions and millions of dollars to come out there and play. And none of them showed up in this game. So I don't care if you're coaching, if you have Urban Meyer as your coach, you still have to go out there and play hard and perform. You know, I don't care if you're the worst coach ever, like Urban Meyer, go out there and perform. And nobody did. There was absolutely nobody that performed in this game outside of Grover Stewart. He's the only one who gets a pass, the only one. So yes, I understand the animosity towards Reich and Ballard. I do think both of them are on life support for the rest of the season because of the game like this, but don't let the players off with a pass because of this either. The players absolutely deserve blame, and the players absolutely deserve their fair share of criticism for this game.
Yeah, I think that's the most troubling part to me is, like, where's the pride, man? Like,
right.
This is the kind of stuff that embarrassed you before, stuff you would say you'll never let happen again, and then it's happening, happening at such an overwhelming rate. Like,
right.
Teams don't have four straight games like this that aren't like the 1970s Yuccaneers, or, you know, like, these are like really bad stretches. Like, something's got to give.
Right. Right. But yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the next step is right now for the Colts outside of probably getting baptized this week by the Chiefs. I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to say the best is still to come, but honestly, I think it could get worse from here.
Yeah, I mean, this schedule certainly, like we mentioned at the top, it doesn't get easier. But yeah, guys, that's it for us today. Stick with us this week. I know it's tough to digest Colts content right now, but we'll I promise you, we'll bring interesting topics to this. And you know, once we finally put the nail in the coffin on this matchup, we'll move ahead to the Chiefs. The Chiefs are at least an exciting team. Like, even if you're going to watch this team and hope to see the Chiefs light them up, we'll tell you all about them.
Be sure to follow us on social media at JakeArthurNFL on Twitter, at ZachHicks2 for all your snark content, and at LockedOnColts. You can follow us there on Twitter. Subscribe to the show on YouTube. You guys are probably watching this this live stream right now. We actually have quite a few people in the live stream right now. So you guys leave your comments after the stream or here in the stream while it's still up for a few more minutes about what you thought about this Colts team. And then wherever you listen to your podcast, rate, review, subscribe. Tell us how much you love what we said today or how much you disagree with what you said, what we said today. And thanks again for making Locked On Colts your first listen every day. Now make your second listen to Peacock and Williamson NFL Show. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson give you the expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you guys tomorrow.